Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today I have two guests, and we're going to be talking about a topic that I guess could be summarized as young adult ministry, but it's not quite that cut and dry and not quite that simple. With me today is Cecilia Fan, who works with young adults with a very long title in the diocese, which is?
The Young Adult Ministry Programs Coordinator.
The Young Adults Ministry Programs Coordinator. Welcome, Cecilia.
Thank you.
And we're also on with Ian Cabrera. And Ian, you work with the diocese in the Department of Communications, and we have you here because you're working with young adults in a specialized project. And we'll explain all of this as we go forward. But before we begin, let's begin with a short word of prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here. Help to focus us and remind us that without you, there is nothing that is possible. Amen.
Amen. So we're talking today about young adult ministry. And we were talking in the talk before the show a little bit about how this is not the kind of a ministry that you get a set lesson plan, a curriculum, a scope, a sequence, start here, end there, and you move people through a program. Cecilia, how does the Diocese of Orange collectively approach young adult ministry?
It's with meeting young adults where they're at, and it's with tending to each young adult as just a soul young adult. It's not this idea of catch-all, and it's so funny because the gospel this past weekend was about, you know, casting the net and fishers of men. But what we're realizing that while we are called to go out and sort of cast this unknown net to see what we'll get, it's the personal care that we display to each person that we encounter. And it's something that Pope Francis calls us to on a daily basis, this personal encounter with Christ, as well as leading others into that personal encounter, which is the one-on-one. And so that's really sort of, I guess, if you could call their an overall strategy for how the diocese is looking to engage young adults. And so when we meet with ministers and leaders, it's in this way of cultivating that spirit and that energy that we are called to walk two by two or one by one and to encounter other young adults.
So it sounds like the diocese is taking a very relational approach to
Absolutely.
Reaching out. Back years ago when I was a young adult, and I used to ride to the young adult meeting on my pet mastodon, so it was a while ago, the programs weren't geared so much that way. They really were more of event-oriented and Bible study-oriented, mm-hmm. where you get people together and then do something.
Yeah.
This is a different approach.
Yeah. If you look at the diocesan pastoral plan that was just released at the end of 2016, the whole theme of this pastoral plan is connection. How are we as a people of faith and a people of God making a connection to one another? And that's not necessarily in classrooms anymore. It can be in the classroom, and I think for certain preparation and rituals, it's necessary that it takes place there. But overall, when you talk about relationships, it's much easier to build a relationship outside of sort of the structures of what a classroom might look like. And so it's happening in coffee shops or in breweries or in people's backyards, right? Not happening in the traditional places and spaces that we once designated to be just church. We allow to see the world as all of it as sacred ground. And that really changes the dynamic of how you interact with others and share your faith in that way.
Okay, the source and summit of our faith, the catchphrase there is important, is our Eucharist and therefore the liturgical celebration of the Mass. Yet the Catholic Church is about a lifestyle as well. It's about how do we live our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's an everyday, all the time type of thing. So if I'm hearing you right, you're reaching out to people to take the more human side. That's not quite well put. But to take a more holistic approach than, say, just the liturgical experience. Hey, do you want to come see me at Mass or meet me at Mass? Which is good, but there's more to young adults, especially in our frenetic age that we're in.
Mm-hmm. It's that song, "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love." I mean, I heard that time and time again growing up in Catholic schools, but it's so true that when you meet people and you sense something about them, something special, something that makes them very genuine and caring about, yeah, about you as a person, that shifts, because we don't live in a world where people kind of care in that very real, almost tangible way anymore. And so when you recognize that in somebody and you recognize how that in turn affects you, that shifts a lot of the way you're able to look at them. And some people even ask, well, what is it like, or how do you carry yourself this way? Or how do you care about others in this way? And when you're able to say, well, it's my faith calls me to this. That's so powerful, because then someone can look at that and having experienced that through you, an experience of Christ that they haven't necessarily recognized yet, that is something that young adults are craving, almost as if, I mean, we sit here and we're like, yes, they're experiencing God, yes. But for somebody who is uncatechized or isn't going to church, they don't recognize necessarily that initially that that's God. They see that that's you. But through you is how we experience Christ.
You know, you're raising a very, very profound point that I think can be caricatured. We have to be careful with it. But this going to Mass means for most people showing up at an event where one person is leading and he's not making eye contact with me and he may not even be able to preach out of a paper bag. Sorry, but we have some priests that could use a little homiletic training. And when we're done, people will say goodbye, maybe, but you're only going to get a smile and a handshake on your way out the door. Where is that personal connection? Mm-hmm. And I happen to be a student of history. I'm currently finishing. I've got a couple of master's degrees. I'm currently finishing up a PhD program, and I'm focused on early church history. And one of the things that stands out in the early part of the early church is that this was all done one person at a time. It was relational. Paul would go into a synagogue, but he'd make friends with some people before he'd ever start preaching to anybody. Mm-hmm. And we don't sometimes remember, perhaps, that we were the edgy thing at one time. The Catholic Church, the Christian Church, was illegal. So it was the bad boy thing to do for some very good reasons. And it had to do with ideas and life-changing ideas. And those were engendered by encounters with people who would talk about those ideas.
And even though this happened through, I mean, thousands of years ago, right, that even today, the gospel is still just as radical. When you dive into what Jesus was saying, that the world doesn't preach that. In a world today where everyone's very polarized or angry or disillusioned, the gospel is still a place that says, look at this radical type of love that Christ is calling you to. And it's in the Eucharist that we celebrate every weekend, that ultimate sacrifice that we as a community and culture really have disengaged with. We don't know what that means, especially for one another.
I think people forget that Jesus not only feeds, but he then also sends people out.
Yeah.
And the Eucharist is a very selfish thing on the one hand. We get to be fed by God. What a wonderful thing. But it's still focused on me.
Yes.
And it's all for me. This is so wonderful. Uh-huh. Yet we're supposed to, you know, the Mass has ended.
Yeah.
Now go forth.
And proclaim the gospel and the good news.
You've now been refueled. How are you going out there? What do you do? And so if I'm hearing you right, the philosophy anyway of the Diocese of Orange for working with young adults has taken on a role now that's more relational, more focused on this one-to-one or encounter type of approach.
Absolutely. Even just last night, we had a meeting with young adult ministers, And the idea was, how can we, Kira Personalis, how can we go out and care for each person that we encounter as a whole person? That I'm not looking to you to be like, ooh, where can I put you like on a board, or how can we get you engaged in something? But how do I just care for you first? How do I listen to you first?
Yes,
and the rest of that is going to fall into place later.
So you're actually then trying to look at the whole person, and that includes what they're thinking and what they're doing, and how they're thinking and how they're doing. You're trying to start that conversation, so to speak,
yes.
And you're building on conversations, which is going to bring us then over to Ian. We're going to come back, Ian, because we're going to be running out of time in this segment.
Okay.
But Ian, you're in the communications department, and you've been working on a project kind of in collaboration with Cecilia's department on young adults. And when we come back, I want you to explain that. We haven't forgotten about you over here. Thank you for the prayer, by the way. It was very good.
Thank you.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, coming to you way atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. When we come back, we will rejoin Cecilia and Ian in talking about young adult ministry. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Jim Hooper, 2016 nominee for St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year. I'm excited to let you know that the 2017 Man of the Year dinner is coming up on March 18th. The deadline for submission is March 1st, and it's an encouragement to all Catholic men and Catholics in general to get active and get involved. While all men there were shy about standing out, we all walked away with a renewed sense of excitement about serving the Lord. So please don't hesitate to nominate an outstanding man from your parish or organization. The deadline again is March 1st. For more information, call Sheila at 714-402-6347 or go to the website
www.occatholicman.org. That's occatholicman.org.
Thanks, and we hope to see you at the dinner. God bless.
And we're back at Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope in the good studios of Immaculate Heart Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today are two people. Cecilia Fan, who has been bravely talking to us about young adult ministry and some of the direction that it's been taking in the Diocese of Orange as being significantly different than the young adult ministry I kind of grew up with. And it's wonderful. It's beautiful to hear that we're actually really keyed in on the relational aspects of building Christians. This is a very good thing.
Yeah.
I'm very glad to hear that.
We're very excited.
And it's kind of funny because when you start doing that, and we were just talking about one-to-one, it doesn't have to necessarily be one-to-one, but it does have to be deep. And it has to answer people's questions by getting them to answer it themselves. What do I really believe? So this brings me to Ian Cabrera. Ian, you've been involved with the Diocese of Orange working in the Department of Communications. And one of the occupational hazards of doing that is seeing where communication is working and not working, right?
Sure.
You're now working on a project that's going to be released soon. Describe a little bit about what you've been trying to do.
Kind of what along the lines of what Cecilia was talking about, I realized that maybe the approach that we had taken as a whole, as the church, was a blanket approach. I'm going to send people to Mass. I'm going to catechize people in the same way. I'm going to talk to people the same way, and they're going to know God that way. And I realized that's not the case with anything in life. You can't talk to people the same way and expect the same result. That's not how people are, and that's what makes us beautiful, right? So I thought we need something that, one, allows people to make up their own mind or have their own thoughts, and at the same time gives them pieces of both sides of a conversation so that's not you're not always hearing the same thing. You're not always just hearing what you already believe. I'm going to try to present the other side, not in a confrontational way, but in a balanced way that maybe you weren't exposed to normally.
So this is going to be kind of like a podcast, or
it will be a weekly podcast, and each week will be a different topic that I think pertains to where people are at. Things that maybe older adults would have had figured out already, we're still trying to figure it out. A big one that I see is technology and how...
Oh, you think the older adults have figured out technology? We're constantly asking our 8th graders to program the VCR.
Well, okay, maybe.
And we're still using VCRs.
I think maybe the thing that young adults might lack in that area of technology is because it's coming so fast, we try to take it all in and really soak it all up. And it's exciting because the new thing just came out and I want to check that out. But what am I setting aside so that I can get that new thing? Am I going to go wait for 4 hours and not see my family or not do some project or?
Well, and then every new technology usually involves some sort of interaction with it on a regular basis. So Twitter means you're now involved with a Twitter account. Facebook meant that you were involved with Facebook account. Back in the a few years before that, MySpace was dressing up your MySpace account. And then you're constantly on it or involved with it.
Sure. And my thought or one of the sides would be that that's not necessarily bad that you're spending a lot of time on those things if you enjoy it and maybe it's a hobby for you. Some people garden and some people are on their space, you know, Facebook.
Some people show what meal they eat every day.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, there's obviously there's things that aren't good about these things, maybe depending on how you use it. But I don't want to demonize that thing, right? I want to know what are we giving up? And maybe by looking at that, you can say, okay, well, I don't want to spend 4 hours on my online. I'll spend 3 hours. And then in the other hour, I'll go talk to my family and my friends and I'll go, you know, outside for a minute, and then I'll go back inside, and then I'll be back on the computer.
So you're trying to approach essentially young adults to engage them with questions that are, on the one hand, common questions, but on the other hand, have a deeper impact to their lives, perhaps even more than they realize.
Yeah, exactly. I would hope that in hearing this show, you would see the world around you and maybe take a look at yourself and think, okay, yeah, maybe there are some ways that I can improve. This is a self-help podcast, essentially.
A self-help podcast. I like that, though. But the idea in the back of your mind is that...
Yeah, sure, why not?
There's a certain sense to which...
We can all be doing better, maybe.
Okay. Is this, Cecilia, the kind of approach that you're talking about, that we're trying to find new ways of approaching these young adults?
Yeah, I think providing some sort of a balance instead of maybe allowing people to pigeonhole the Catholic faith or peg it maybe as the one thing that the media has painted, right? Really allow them to encounter and ask questions in a way that says, hey, you know what? We don't have all the answers right now. And you know what? That's okay. I think you have a lot of young adults. We grow up in age with technology and we are fast to get answers. And so it's very frustrating for us when we encounter issues in our lives that have been long running issues that no one has an answer to.
You know, I find it very interesting. I mentioned that I'm back in school. I'm an old dinosaur. You can't see me on the air, which is probably a good thing, but I've got gray hair and a very white beard, and I'm an older guy. And I'm going back into the PhD program at a UC school, and I'm sitting around me, and frequently I'm older than the professor who's teaching. And the kids, so to speak, that are around me, they've introduced me to this whole new world of taking notes on the internet and having your iPad in front of you instead of a piece of paper and a pen. And how when the teacher says something, you can check Wikipedia really quick. Shh, don't tell anyone that you do that. But and find out what's being talked about. This is a whole new ball game for people that are my age and my generation. What we encountered, what we went through in our lives is not what young adults are encountering and is not what they're going through in their lives.
I would challenge that.
Okay.
While the church hasn't done it like this, you would have made a friend just like we're talking about. And I think that's the trap that we've gotten ourselves into, is to separate these two things. You are married. You didn't make this person your wife by blanket conversations. You got to know this person and struggled with them and challenged them. That's exactly what we want.
Guess where I better? a young adults group.
But you didn't have the same conversation. You weren't only talking to 1,000 people every time you talk to her, right? You have
right.
to, and that's, it's like, what do young adults need? What newfangled thing do we need? It's like, oh my gosh, we want to have a conversation with somebody. If you think you are important enough to, or if you think you're interesting enough to converse with somebody, go up and talk to them. Hey, I've got something to say. Okay, well, I've got ears, so maybe I'll listen.
I'll go back to my campus experience. That seems to be almost impossible sometimes on the campus. I'm at a school where there's 30,000 students, and they won't make eye contact. It's the weirdest thing for me, because you guys know me by now. I'll go up and talk to anybody.
Sure.
And I'm always smiling, and I'll try. And they don't. It's like, if you make eye contact, someone's going to have a microaggression. And it's like, what do we do with this? So I'm not going to challenge you on that. It's not the same. I think it's different. I think that
if
there are certain things here that the strands are the same. Mm-hmm. You're trying to encounter people, but the world of my age and the world of your age are very different in how we go about doing that. And it's one of those things where I think the church is being very wise in realizing that what worked for my generation will not only not work this generation, but could even be counterproductive. We were talking at one point about the image of the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church can sometimes be its own worst enemy in how it allows itself to be presented as if it's this monolithic old person group of people run by octogenarians who are determined to force you into the cookie cutter mold of pay, pray, and obey. Mm-hmm. And
I like that. I'm going to start using that from now on.
Pay, pray, obey.
Yeah, I'm going to use that. That's good. Yeah, I'm going to write that down. Yeah. I'm going to put it in my iPad, not in my pen and pencil.
And believe it or not, that was a catchphrase back in the 50s. But anyway, bottom line is you're trying to embark on something very new that is actually very old. It's just older than this generation or two remembers, I think.
Yeah, I think the opposite of that, last night when we were talking to these young adult ministers, the opposite of that is listen, connect personally, and pray. Those were the three words that we were stressing yesterday.
Listen,
connect, and pray.
And pray. I think those are all great words to be used. And I'd like to explore a little bit about how this is working practically. So Ian, you're not off the hook yet. When we come back, I want to ask you a little bit about, okay, so specifically, what kinds of things are happening in your, what you're doing, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more to you, Cecilia, about where you see us going from here. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is Cecilia Fan, who is involved as a coordinator for young adult ministry here at the Diocese of Orange, and Ian Cabrera, who works with the communications department. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we'll be right back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
And we're back at Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Ian Cabrera, who is involved with the communications department here at the Diocese of Orange, and also Cecilia Fan, and she's the coordinator for young adults here in the Diocese of Orange. And we've been talking about how the Diocese of Orange is really stressing, well, they're trying not to get stressed while they're stressing, an approach to young adult ministry that's highly relational, that's looking at trying to delve deeper into what they're thinking and where they're coming from, and to give them an opportunity to enter the conversation. So it's actually, it sounds like anyway, it's actually a two-way relationship and not a one-way direction of communication.
Radical concept, I know.
But it's something that really is, because back when I was younger, I'm a convert to this. So I came out of the Protestant tradition, and this was the concept that you did, was you went up, you talked to people, you befriended them, then you took them to some place where they then could get some unilateral communication. But that only happened, you only brought them to church after you've already had coffee three or four times and talked through a couple of issues. Radical concept, it sounds like that's not too dissimilar from the philosophical stance you're taking now on how to approach young adults. Cecilia, how is that any different? Or is it a similar in approach?
I mean, I think it's a similar approach in that it comes down to being with people instead of finding a way, like people as like a means to an end, which I think for many years is what it was seen like. You know, well, how do we keep people in the pews, or, you know, how do we make sure that, that the building stays up and the lights stay on, that we can like, we need to reach this number, right? But it, it becomes less about that and more about how can we bring people closer to Christ? How can we allow them to experience that this love and this joy that we get to experience weekly through the Eucharist, as well as through community and through the learning of our faith? That becomes the goal instead.
So this kind of reminds me of the difference between having someone that you work with and having someone you're in love with. And the person you work with provides needs for whatever it is you're doing. If they happen to be a colleague, then you're maybe working in tandem together, but you're working for utilitarian purposes and you're trying to accomplish goals. But the relationships you build are still relationships of use. And what you're, when you fall in love with someone, you kind of just want to be around them all the time and maybe even just stare at them a little bit because you're just like their presence and their look, and you enjoy doing things with them so much that you actually embark eventually on this project of building a family. And it has to do not so much with contracts, and in fact, if you really have to do a prenuptial agreement, there's probably a problem. It has to do with this falling in love. And I think the way that the church sometimes used to go about reaching people almost was the business approach. We want you to come join us because we've got a transaction for you. Mm-hmm. If you come to church, you get eternal life. And isn't that a great eternal retirement plan? Mm-hmm. And that's what's in it for me. That can be what's in it for you. Let me sell you some eternal insurance. But isn't that kind of what it was kind of like? And heaven becomes something that is a commodity for you to get.
Mm-hmm. Get and to heaven.
And by the way, in order to do this, you have to know this guy named Jesus. Mm-hmm. But don't worry about him. You can just take him in Eucharist, and as long as you don't do too many bad things, mm-hmm. you go to confession. We'll explain all the rest of this later.
We'll iron that out.
But we've got this whole this eternal fire insurance plan for you, mm-hmm. and that's a commodity, mm-hmm. and that's not going to sell. Even if you could convince somebody that it's that Jesus really is the one, the prophecies really were there. It makes total sense that God would come down to us, and we can't reach up to God all by ourselves. It doesn't matter on that level. You're still not actually giving them love. Mm-hmm. And Jesus didn't come that way. He gets mad at the people that are that way. Mm-hmm. The times he loses his temper are with people who are doing that very thing. Absolutely. So what you're trying to do is to sell the love of Jesus. It sells the wrong term.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not right.
But you're trying to you're trying to approach people with this.
Yeah, that would be the angle instead. It's about experiencing that. And then that being the catalyst for which you are a better person, that it's Trinitarian and relational in that we're constantly, what we receive is what we give out into the world. And that by that witness that we are able to engage others in that by building the kingdom of God is just that.
And what I'm noticing is that that does not come quickly. You have to be willing to accept that somebody doesn't want to hear the word of God or your version of the word of God, and they might need to just see what the word of God is. That's the thing that I'm really struggling with. It's like, I can't just give you that pat answer because you can't even hear me saying hello. I can't even look at you, like you said. So the time that it takes to really invest in one person is, it's, I think that's the thing that really gets me, is like, I don't want to waste my time to find out that this person had nothing, didn't want anything to do with me. You know, it's so, I don't know, that's challenging, right? But that's the reality of it. You could, quote unquote, waste your time.
Viktor Frankl used to tell the story, and I don't think he invented the story, but he used to like it. Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust survivor and then wrote several things, but he told the story of the person who was walking down the beach after a big storm. And there were all these starfish that had washed up on the shore and were going to die in the sun because the tide had come up so high and wasn't going to come up that high again. And he is throwing these starfish back into the sea. Another man is walking down the beach from the opposite direction, is watching this as he's walking closer, passing all these starfish. There are thousands and thousands of these starfish on the beach. And he goes and he says, what are you doing? You can't save all those starfish. And he stops for a moment, and then he leans down, he picks up one, looks at it, and then throws it into the water. And then he turns to the man and says, you're right, but I saved that one. And it, you know, it raises the question. It might only be one at a time, but for that one person, it really is happening. We were talking with some colleagues of yours a few weeks back about what's happening on campuses in the Diocese of Orange as well. A very similar approach going on with something called Focus. Tell me a moment about that. What's that?
So Focus sends missionaries into the universities, and a team actually of maybe 4, 5, or 6, and they are able to build relationships, engage with young adults who otherwise probably wouldn't be able to have a conversation about their faith. And these are missionaries who are just on fire with this love and joy of the gospel. And they are able to hold Bible studies or men's group or women's groups and be able to provide a community that is sustainable. Because I think what will happen, especially in young adult groups, because there's no person or no team that is dedicated because of time, right? Because of lack of time to building this type of community. And because of that volatility, a lot of times, like, these young adult communities kind of just fall apart because no one's there to sustain them. But in Focus, you have these young men and women who are there for an entire school year, and their sole purpose is to build this faith community, to draw each young man and woman closer in their relationship with Christ through various events and or opportunities.
One of the things that was stressed by the people we had on, and yeah, they were on fire, they were young, they're involved with, they look like they're college students themselves. It looks like they haven't been out of college, the ones that I talked to anyway, for very long at all. But they were stressing this one-on-one relationship where they're able to talk, and then people are able to ask questions and have their questions not so much answered, but engaged.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anyone can get a question answered. That's what Wikipedia is for. It's about engagement and trying to engage those nuances of thought.
Discovery.
And for people who are on campus at Cal State Fullerton or on campus at UC Irvine, they have the privilege of having these focused people, mm-hmm. but not everyone's there. Which brings me back to you, Ian. It sounds like the type of podcast you're involved with has a similar goal as Focus, but without being on campus to do it.
Sure. Yeah. Like I said, it's discovery. I want to fail. I want to know that I don't know everything. And if somebody's presenting an opposing viewpoint, but they're doing it in a compelling way, or their story is just so out there, that's great. Like, I am enriched by somebody else's story.
So what you're trying to do is to engage young people as well.
Yeah, exactly. And in ways that I would hope they are things, I would hope that these are things that they're thinking about already, but maybe don't have that opposing viewpoint or can't ask those questions to the people around them.
There isn't a safe place for us to do it.
Exactly.
One of the things that I was saying about walking on campus, when are you able to smile at someone, say hello, and actually engage a conversation? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost as if you're providing one more safe space to think about these things. So when you're engaged with this, what happens? You've done this now a couple of times to get it going. What are you finding?
I'm finding that in preparing these people for the show, like I said, I'm really enriched. We have great conversations. I'm hearing things that I would have never thought of from somebody that I would have never even thought to talk to. That safe place for me is a really balanced way to look at things, because one person has this view and then, you know, a few minutes later, somebody else has the opposite view. And it's like, wow, I could hear exactly how you could think what you're thinking. I don't agree, but I could see where you're coming from.
So it's a validation process, too.
That's funny. That's what I asked. it is and it isn't. I want people to know, hey, maybe you are right with the thing that you're thinking and you're not crazy. Maybe you are crazy.
I think a lot of young adults, as they're experiencing life and trying to rationalize it and understand, you know, what's coming. However, they come up against like, well, am I the only one?
And when we come back, I want to pick up that theme, and then I also want to talk about where we go from here. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we'll be right back. We're back at Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you from the campus of Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. And today's been a very beautiful day. We had some time out there with some rain for a while, but we have some very nice weather right now. And it's interesting because it's all, to me, it's kind of representative of how the church sometimes will go through these periods where it seems almost dark and gloomy. When there really is lurking behind the clouds is bright sunshine that's ready to burst forth into our lives. And I'm excited about what we've been talking about, because in several small, significant ways, it sounds like we're making concrete steps in order to implement this idea of reaching people, especially young people, personally. How do we build that relationship? A decision for or against the church is usually made between the golden years of 17 and 22. 5 years you've got in there. And that's
actually,
when most...
it's so funny because research very recently says that that actually happens a little bit younger now. That in middle school, even, because of the way that they're educated and really the flood of information, is that in those ripe ages right there in like 6th, 7th, and 8th grade is when they begin to really process this. And that's the time where evangelization should take place.
That is so funny, because when I first came back from seminary, remember I had been a Presbyterian, I'd finished my master's in divinity, was ready for ordination, took another master's in early church history, and discovered the entire early church was Catholic, which ruined your career as a Presbyterian minister when you become Catholic. So I went back to teaching, and I taught 6th grade and then 8th grade for years, and then went to high school and became campus minister. And I would agree with you, though the statistics that I've had quoted at me up until now have always been basically that college age when they leave. I'm wondering if they're asking two different questions. Mm-hmm. When do you actually opt out versus when have you tuned out? Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. From having gone through and been a teacher of those grades, they're either getting their questions answered or they're getting their questions shut down. And if their questions are being shut down, then confirmation is about graduating out of the Catholic Church mm-hmm. as opposed to commencing a whole life in the Catholic Church.
Exactly.
So I'm excited. We've got a podcast that we're in the process, probably another month or so away before we actually get this up on the website.
Right.
And we've got Focus that's already in UC Irvine and Cal State Fullerton. Where is the diocese going from here? You mentioned that the bishop, he hasn't formulated the plan. He's helped other people formulate this plan for the diocese for growth. And we had him on here right around Christmas time. He was talking about it. He's excited about mm-hmm. it. Where do we go from here with this vision of reaching young people individually? What's the plan in your office, Cecilia?
Ideally, and for years to come, I think long term is to allow parishes to become a place that welcomes young adults. The catchphrase we've been using in this past year is making a home for young adults. And it's not by one young adult leader or just like a group of five young adults who are trying to create this ministry or group. It's a shift of the entire parish where the energy and the focus becomes, when I see a young adult, how do I engage with them? And you can be at any age and any stage of your faith, but are you welcoming them in? And what does that mean to make a home? What does a home feel like? Right. And how do we enable young adults who are transitioning, moving in and out of parishes, probably not very stable, at any point that they are entering into our parishes, that we can make a place and a space for them?
In a different diocese, I lived for a while in a valley that had really two Catholic churches. There was a third one at the other end, but there were two Catholic churches in my area. And one was known as the old person's parish, and the other one was for the young families. And if you went to the old person's parish as a young person, you got stared at. It wasn't very friendly. And the other one, it was almost their business to be warm and welcoming and open. And guess which one's still growing? And it's interesting, because now I look back 20 years later and I can see the decline of the one and the growth of the other, and it's not just the demographics of the neighborhoods.
It's not about sacrificing anybody for the other. It's about making room. And, I mean, God consistently makes space for each and every one of us, and that's what the church is, that there's always more room, even when all the rooms are packed or there's not another mass that could be fit in.
God is infinite. He can create more room. He's a great builder, too. He builds quickly. He can add on to the house. We do get into this idea that it's a zero-sum game. If I'm going to take something, if I'm going to start something new over here, I have to take it from over here, because we think in terms of budgets more so than in growth. So if we're looking at where your department is going, what specific ideas are you trying? You just came from a meeting where you were talking to these parish leaders. What did you talk about? What programming are you looking at trying to do within the parishes in order to accomplish this new invitation-centered parish?
So specific in terms of programming and formation, it's really kind of dialing it back and taking it just to the very basic level of how do we interact with one another? We did some role-playing last night about how do you even invite a young adult who's at Mass, you know, coming out at the end, to an event, or how do you strike up a conversation with them? We were talking about this earlier, that this idea and this notion of looking somebody in the eye and having a conversation with them is so foreign to a lot of young adults. It's actually very frightening. And some of us who are extroverted, it comes very easily. But for most of us, we're not very comfortable doing that, because we almost feel like, well, are we intruding on their space? It's very practical in nature, that just we're teaching our young adult ministers to be able to approach other young adults. And that's kind of where we're starting with. And we'll move it along there. How do you cultivate a better prayer life, right? How do you build that into your day-to-day? Discernment is also huge, and something that we have realized, that many young adults, they are in a place where they need to be discerning, yet have no tools or no community to do that with. And so starting here with building relationships, and then slowly, gradually moving through, how do we create disciples? How do we bring others who are maybe sort of on the peripheries in and welcome them in?
Yeah, that's a very, very loaded term, the word disciple. Coming out of education, the difference between a student and a disciple, the student's going to learn, but the disciple's going to love the person they're learning it from. And you build relationship. So Christ had disciples. He didn't have students. And that's an important thing to keep in mind, isn't it? So for the future, Ian, you're in the process now of putting this podcast program together. What do you hope for in this podcast? What are you hoping the end product is going to end up being?
As we mentioned, I hope that people have a safe place, because what I've seen is that there is no safe place in the real world. We've talked about, you're either on this side or that side. There's no in-between. And that's where I live, is the in-between. I want to know what everybody's saying and then make up my own mind. And I hope that a listener would hear something that they don't agree with, understand where that person is coming from, and say, okay, I'm okay with somebody being different than myself. another radical idea, right? Being okay with diversity. It's a challenge. I fully understand that, but you can't exist in the world. You can't exist in this church if you're not willing to accept that challenge, like outside of the challenge that Christ has given to us to love other people. That's so hard to do, to love somebody that you don't know that's outside of yourself, but you have to do it. You do not have a choice. You must do this thing. I mean, I guess you don't have to. You could not be a Catholic and continue on your way and go to church and think you're doing the right thing, and ultimately you won't be doing the right thing if you're not loving those around you, right?
You know, we talk a lot about becoming a real Christian, the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. But if you want to come right down to it, when we finally get there, we don't really need faith, because when we're in heaven, you have what you had faith in. It's a faithless place, but on the positive side. You don't need hope because you already have what you were hoping for. The only thing is that love, that relationship that's been built because you care about the other person's core. Thank you. Thank you so much for having the courage. You, as an administrator in the diocese working with programming, thank you for having the temerity to take a step and move in a direction that really I think is so hopeful and so faithful. And thank you, Ian, for trying to realize a part of that in the programming you're in the process of putting together.
Of course.
We had Ian pray at the beginning, but I think our listening audience would also like to hear from you, Cecilia. Would you mind leading us in a word of prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good and gracious, loving God, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the gift of rain, for renewing us, for bringing newness every day, for challenging us and calling us forth to be not just complacent disciples, but disciples on fire with your love, with your energy, to go out and to share the wonderful, beautiful news that you have with the world. We ask that you continue to watch over us, to guide us, to walk with us on this journey. Amen.
Amen. And once again, I want to thank you, Cecilia, for being here with all the courage that you have in order to talk to the people that are listening. You know, for the people that are in our listening audience, this kind of an approach is something that if you're in the Diocese of Orange, you have parishioners that have probably been exposed to this. If you're not seeing it in your parish, go talk to somebody and find out how you can help make it happen. Because our ability to reach out to this generation of people is what's going to instill the security of the Catholic Church forever. Remember, we're only one generation away from extinction.
Yeah.
At any one time. And the bottom line is, this approach to trying to build relationships, to bring people into the church, is such a hopeful one. I'm so thankful for you coming in and talking to us, Cecilia. Thank you, Ian, for coming in and talking to us about how you're approaching a very practical way of accomplishing this.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we'll see you again next week.